Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and of course you can listen to our podcasts at thetrumpet.com or wherever you like to get your podcasts. Here's a question to consider. How converted are you? How converted are you? Another way to ask that question is, how much do you think like God? How much do you think like God? This is so important for all of us to consider personally. Conversion or learning to think like God is a lifelong process. And it's something that we have to continue to work on. We don't naturally think like God. And that means that in order to think more and more like God, we have to change. There has to be a change in the way we think. And then, of course, our actions as well. And change means repentance. It means repentance. And that's a difficult thing for many people. Oftentimes they don't see the need to really change because they think they're pretty good. They think they're doing a pretty good job. They don't really see a need for any sort of change in thinking. Notice Romans 2. Let's take a look at this. We've got a few passages today. So if you have a Bible handy, it would be good to get it out. We could look at these passages together. Notice Romans 2. We'll read verses 3 and 4. It says, "And think you this, O man, that judges them which do such things and does the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Here's a quote about this passage. It's from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This is from the editor. And it says, obviously, repentance is of the Holy Spirit. But here it says, the goodness of God leads us there. Do you realize how good God is, how good he is to you, and how much he has given you? When we evaluate ourselves and compare ourselves with the goodness of God, we see how evil we are. Compare your goodness with God's, and then you begin to see why we really need to repent toward God and not toward man. So this is a vital point. You know, if we compare ourselves with other people, well, we might be able to justify ourselves in our own mind anyway and think like, well, I'm doing pretty good compared to so-and-so. But as we've read here, we need to strive to be like God. We must continue to think and act more like God does. That's what we're striving for. Notice a passage here in 2 Corinthians 10, something that Paul wrote. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Paul says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." See, it's not wise to do that, to commend ourselves and say, well, I think I'm doing pretty good, and compare ourselves to another person. That's not a good thing to do. It's not wise. Notice verses 17 and 18 here in 2 Corinthians 10. It says, "But he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." So if we're going to glory in something or, you know, show praise for something, it has to be of God. We have to be praising God and what he does and his works and his goodness. And not try to, you know, bolster ourselves, but really look at what God's doing and keep our mind and our focus there. And we want God to look at us and say, okay, well, you know, here's how I view your behavior, and here's how you're growing, and here's how you're improving. And that's what we want. We don't want to just compare ourselves among ourselves and come to our own conclusion on that. We have to look at God and his example, or else we end up feeling like, well, we're pretty good. And we don't grow like we need to. We don't think like God more and more because we're become comfortable thinking the way that we think. But we're not to do that. We're to change and to think more like God does. Notice this passage, Jeremiah 17. This one's one that I think a lot of people memorize. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. But it's so important to think about it. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So the human heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. And we can easily deceive ourselves that we're pretty good, you know, that we're thinking as we should. And we think, well, we're on the right track. We're doing good things. But we need to be looking at God and looking at what he instructs and not comparing ourselves to other people or promoting ourselves in our own mind, you know, thinking, well, we're doing pretty well. We need to really look at God's word and realize that we just need to continually be changing our thinking and growing and improving. It's easy to deceive ourselves and think that we're pretty good or think, well, at least we're not as bad as that person over there or that person over there. That's a self-righteous attitude, and Jesus Christ talked about that specifically in Luke 18. Notice this parable that he gives, Luke 18, and we'll read verses 9 through 14. It says, "And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So they had this self-righteous attitude. They trusted themselves. They were pretty righteous, they thought, and then they were negative about other people. Verse 10, it says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." And of course, the publicans were, you know, sinners, and the Pharisees were, they considered themselves to be pretty righteous. Verse 11, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.'" Well, he's praying with himself. His prayers weren't really getting through to God because his attitude was so bad and he wasn't repentant and he wasn't wanting to change and be more like God. He was just glad that he was good as he viewed it. And he could point out other people's problems, you know, very easily. He said, "Oh, well, that guy over there, you know, he's unjust and there's an adulterer. And then, well, look at this publican over here. I'm glad I'm not like that." And he went on in verse 12. He says, "Well, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And that was probably true. He probably had some pretty good works in that way. You know, if somebody were to just look at him on the surface level, they might say, well, I mean, he does. He fasts and he tithes and all of that. But he had this self-righteous attitude. He wasn't trying to become converted and begin to think like God and repent and change from his own thinking. He was content with his thinking. He thought he was righteous, not like those other sinners. But notice verse 13, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" So he wasn't, you know, commending himself or comparing himself with other people. He was looking at God's law and he knew he had sinned. And he wanted to change. He was really repentant. He knew he needed to be converted. He knew that he needed to think like God, and he didn't. And he needed to grow in that. Verse 14, Christ says, "I tell you, this man," this publican, "went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." So, again, there's a real lesson here between these two attitudes. One that thought that he was good and doing well and was pretty content with himself and very quick to point out the flaws of others. And then this publican who undoubtedly was committing some sins but had an attitude of repentance and he wanted to change and he knew he needed to think differently. And he wasn't trying to compare himself with other people. He was asking for God to help him, and he wanted to begin to think like God. And Christ said, God will help a person like that, a person that's humble, that realizes that their thinking is flawed and that they need God's help. They need to be converted. They need to learn to think like God. God will work with that person for sure. The standard that we're looking to, again, is God's standard. We're not trying to measure ourselves among others. Notice Matthew 5 and verse 48, what Jesus Christ said here, another very well-known passage. Be you therefore perfect, or become perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's the goal. See, God is good, and we want to learn to be like God, and that means we've got to think like God. That's conversion. That's conversion. I mean, that Pharisee in the parable, he was doing a lot of physical things that were pretty good, and it's not like it's wrong to fast, of course, or tithe. Those are great things, but his attitude was the problem. He was self-righteous. He wasn't trying to think like God and become like God and glorify God. He was glorifying himself because of how good he was. And that's not wise, like Paul said, to, you know, compare ourselves to other people. We're not to do that. We're to look at God's standard, God's way of living, and then strive to be like that. We need God's Spirit in our minds so we can do that. And we'll take a look at that here in a minute. But this is the goal. Be you therefore perfect. Become you perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's the goodness of God. That's the standard that we're looking to. We're looking to God and his standard. That's our goal. Notice Matthew 19 and verse 17. Jesus Christ, again, drawing attention to the fact that only God is good. Matthew 19 and verse 17. And he said unto him, why call you me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. God is good. His commandments are good. He knows how to think. He knows how to live. And that's what we're trying to learn ourselves, to be like him. And that's the conversion process, learning to think like God does. And that means changing and repenting and not comparing ourselves to other people, but comparing ourselves to God. And then seeing, of course, that we fall short, and then striving to change and to grow. I'm going to finish today with a little bit of a longer quote here and make some comments about it, but this is such a great quote. Again, it's from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, and it's from the editor. There's a special section from the editor, and this is from that. It says, meditate deeply upon God's goodness. It is contrary to everything we see in this miserable, evil world. God would never even think about allowing himself to sin. He's not that way. His mind is in perfect accord with his law in every detail. That's the way God thinks. He thinks that way. His mind is in perfect accord with his law in every detail. And there's lots of areas where, you know, humanly, our minds aren't like that. We absolutely need God's mind. And that is the example we're looking toward, the goodness of God. Further on in Lesson 8, it says, Christ went through a terrible beating because of our sins. Look at this from God's perspective. He could easily say, yes, I know what you did to him or to her, you know, talking about, okay, you know, when we commit a sin. He says, but what did you do to me? You put my son to death, and you have put his father through even worse agony. And then the point is made that, you know, if you have a child, you know how that is. If the child is suffering as a parent, that's a very hard thing. And that's what God the Father had to do when Jesus Christ was beaten and killed and crucified to pay the penalty for our sins. So that's what they went through. That's the goodness of God to go through something like that for others. It's amazing what was done. And that's why, of course, the law is so important. We have to keep it. That's the penalty for breaking the law of God. It says, this too is why repentance must be toward God, you know, knowing what they went through for us. The quote continues, if you have problems that keep recurring in your life, evaluate yourself by this measure. Are you repenting toward God? Realize your evil before God. Sin should horrify us. David was a very evil man. But he became very righteous, so righteous that he will rule over Israel forever. It says, surely there will be people serving under him who never committed acts as evil as his were. You know, those are recorded in the Bible. We know about what David did, and there were some horrific acts. It says, but the difference is David really knew how to repent. He changed. He repented, and he didn't commit those sins again, and he didn't try to justify himself or try to say, well, you know, I'm pretty good overall, but that was a mistake. And he knew his thinking wasn't what it needed to be, and he wanted to think like God, and he really tried to do that. He really repented. The quote says, here is what true repentance really comes down to. And then it quotes Philippians 2 and verse 5, and I'll read it to you. Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says Christ's mind must be in us, so we are thinking like him. And of course, that can only happen through the power of God's Spirit. We need Christ's mind in our mind. We need his thinking, not our own thinking or our own ideas about, you know, what we think is good and bad and all of that. We need God's thinking. And that's what conversion is. It's learning to think like God. Learning to think like God, and then, of course, having actions that follow suit. Keeping the law of God. But if we are stuck in a rut where we think our thinking is pretty good, and we're not really looking at God and his goodness and his standard and measuring ourselves against that, we're going to be stuck in a rut, that's for sure. It says, Christ's mind must be in us, so we are thinking like him. Again, this is lesson 8 of the correspondence course. And then it quotes Philippians 2 and verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, the only thing that's good is God. God has to be working through us if there's going to be anything of value there, anything good. It's not from us, humanly. It's from God working through us through the power of his Spirit. It says it is not a human effort. We may not actually want to overcome a problem, but God says that he'll give us that desire. We must go to God for the desire to overcome. If we do, he promises he'll give us that desire. Our repentance will be toward God, and then we'll be able to overcome any obstacle. See, David wanted to do that, and he really did. He really overcame, and he repented. But a person, if they're stuck in a rut where they think they're pretty good, and they think they don't really need to change too much, well, they're not going to be able to take on that mind of Christ. They'll be stuck with their own thinking, which, again, is a Jeremiah 17:9 heart, deceitful above all things. There might even be some things in their lives that look okay, like that Pharisee, but the attitude wouldn't be right. They'd be looking to their own thinking, comparing themselves among others, and not really looking to God. So conversion is a lifelong process, and it is to learn to think like God. And in order to do that, we really have to have the right attitude where we allow God to correct us and to teach us and to change our thinking from how we would normally think to the mind of Christ in us. There's a lot more about this in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. If you haven't signed up for this course, please do so, and it'll be sent to you free of charge. You can sign up at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. Until next time, let's strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.